All right, ready?
Goodbye, Moan!
No, what am I saying?
What, this? It's nothing. Really, it's nothing, Ed. It's just, it's just Vocal Minority with Nick and Steve.
Have a good time. Make sure your seatbelts are fastened.
Okay, you little bastards. The time has come. The moment we've all been waiting for. It's the Vocal Minority with Nick and Steve. Let's go.
Let's go. Let's get the podcast started. Welcome to the Vocal Minority with Nick and Steve. Two podcasts, ladies and gentlemen, each and every week.
This is the plan. Hey, we got social medias and we have websites and phone numbers and all that. Let's see. The website is vocalminority.net. It has information just about us. Kind of creepy, but if you want to go read just about us,
I'm flattered.
Yeah, right. We got a comment line. People call it occasionally. 844-48 vocal.
Yeah. Check out those social medias, please, because we do great on TikTok, and it's always fun over on TikTok.
And Reddit is huge for us. It's our number one platform, quite frankly, so that's fun. YouTube's doing well yet again for us. Facebook, Instagram, Threads. Get ready to delete Threads, though. It's just they're trying to make it a competition for Blue Sky, and we prefer Blue Sky over here because that's where all the sane people have left Twitter and gone over there.
So see us on Blue Sky, but right now, go check us out on TikTok, dude. We're taking part in this mass following trend that is igniting on TikTok. Do you know what it is?
All the kids are talking about it. No, I don't. What is the mass following?
It's basically, dude, we're like, hey, we all need to be following each other and increasing our numbers so you can monetize your site or do whatever you want with your site. You can get your opinion out to more people. More people can get their opinion to you. So it's basically you support me, I'll support you. Mass following, hashtag.
Okay. So we're going to follow people. They're going to follow us back. We're all, because there's a lot of sites where people say they'll follow you back, but they don't always.
This is the whole idea of the movement, though. I mean, it's to get followers, to give followers. So I support you. You support me. We're going to roll together and be bigger and better.
All right. Hashtag mass following. Unless you're idiots. Like, is Mega going to follow us? Do I have to do like hashtag liberal, hashtag mass following?
I don't think so. But I don't think there's going to be a lot of MAGAs following us. We dare you.
Yeah. You know? All right. Listen, I'm all for the concept because, yes, as we've talked about on the show before, like podcasters, whether it's comedians or political or whatever it is, we should all be supporting each other. But everyone wants their own little followers and they don't want to share. So hashtag mass following. Let's see if it works or if the internet is lying to us again.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Vocal Minority with Nick and Steve. We're glad to have you here. This is a time for us to take a little breath, take a little breather from all the worries, from all the troubles of the day, and just have a little fun.
Yes, indeed. We do talk a lot of politics here because we have to. It's what's going on in the world. But we have a few other themes and, you know, threads that we do through all this kind of stuff. And one of them is relationships. Mainly because I've had a lot of them.
Let's not get down on you being a lover, dude. I mean, you're a lover, dude.
I do. I do love to love. And I think I give it and get it correctly. But for some reason, yes. I feel like I'm in a very good relationship now. So maybe it took 12 to get to the good one or something. But here we are.
It doesn't matter, dude. You finally made it to your destination, and now you will enjoy this journey. And maybe you're doing the same thing. I came across a list that I thought was really interesting of these are different things men shouldn't feel obligated to do for their wives, their husbands, their girlfriends, their boyfriends. Okay?
Okay. Which is a good point, by the way, because I feel like I am the same, for the most part, the same relationship guy now that I always have been. I have matured. I've done a lot of therapy. I've worked on some issues and whatnot. But for the most part, I feel like I've treated mainly every woman the same, yet you don't always get the same results. Takes two. Oh,
isn't that funny, dude? And you know what? I think about doing like some of the same things over and over. The theme of Nick has been oftentimes the same throughout the years. But I think as we get a little bit older, some of that stuff doesn't work so good. You know, I don't know why I did. Maybe it was a younger thing, but I'm in a phase of evolution. That's what I'm going to say.
Yeah, well, that's fair. Listen, I think we all need to be good at resolving conflict and appreciating each other. And that's something that I've definitely gotten better at over the years. But
yeah,
the romantic things, the nice gestures, opening the car door or whatnot. Like, I feel like I've always done that stuff. So I'm curious to know what's on this list. Is it a variety? Is it one kind of category versus the other? The romantic versus the emotional or emotional intelligence, you know?
Before I let you know that, because I hold the cards, do you open the door for your girlfriend every single time that she gets in the car?
Yes.
You do.
Occasionally she tries to get in without me and I'll like go over and she's apologized to me on more than one occasion of like, she goes to open the door and I'm like, I got it. And she's like, I'm sorry. I know.
You like to do that. Did you do that when you were younger?
I don't remember where it started. I mean, yeah, I really don't remember where that started. I was raised by women and I was always raised to be the nice guy, to do the romantic gestures. And I was literally just telling my son the other day that, you know, hey, dude, open the door for the woman, whether it's the car door or the door to the restaurant or the front door of the house. Like, it's such an easy thing to do, but it goes so far. You score so many points. And there's a fine line between like chivalry and, I don't know, sexism. Like, obviously, a woman can open her damn door for herself. I get that. But yeah, the gesture tends with the right woman to go a very long ways, and it's easy to do.
You know what? It's funny because I don't open the door. I don't open the car door for Rachel every time we get in the car. Maybe I open the car door for maybe 30% of the time. But I always open the doors to buildings. You know, that's something I always do.
The bad thing is like when you first start dating, you do something and then it just fades away.
Oh, no, that's consistent. You know, yeah. It's just, this is Nick. Well, like it or hate it. All right.
Right.
This is the list I'm going to get into. These are things that men shouldn't feel obligated to do for their partner. All right. Plan every date night. See, I was never under the assumption that I needed to plan every date night. I do think that is kind of misogynistic for me to think that I would plan every date night. You know, maybe when we first date, I learned this from you watching you date, is that I'm going to have something in the hopper, but if she has something she wants to do, I'll go do it. But I'm going to have something ready just in case.
Yeah, that's one of the hard ones out there, because it does feel misogynistic if you're always planning these things and saying, this is what we're going to do. This is where we're going to eat. But boy, there's a fine line. Some women want a man to take control. And they don't tend to admit that because then they feel like they're feeding into sexist roles or whatever. So that's difficult. And the classic, where do you want to eat? I don't know. I'll eat where you want to eat. Like, that whole back and forth can get really annoying if it becomes a core part of your relationship that you can never figure out where the fuck to eat because nobody wants to step up and pick a place.
And everybody goes through it, right? I mean, it's become a classic thing. I learned possibly the greatest tip and rule to keep you out of that situation as of late. Yeah. There was a shoe salesman. He sold women's shoes. It's not Al Bundy, but he did sell women's shoes, okay?
Where my mind went to, so thank you for saying it's not him.
Yeah, I want to let you know. This is from a professional. So women were looking at shoes, and they would say, oh, I want to see this one. Can I see that one? Can I try this one in a 10? He used to bring out 3 to 4 pairs of shoes at a time, and they 90% of the time ended up buying none. If he brings out 2 pairs of shoes, they like 80% of the time he sells his shoes.
Wow.
So just give 2. Like, what do you want to eat? We could go to Taco Time or we can go to Burger King. Like, just that's just the you get 2 and then you're going to get a choice. Okay.
That's interesting psychological mastery.
Yeah.
The way I've learned to play this game is I will legitimately ask, does anything sound good? Like, are you dying to go someplace?
Yeah.
Usually the answer is no. So then my default, whether it's with Kennedy or with my kids, is what doesn't sound good, I will pick from what's left, and we're going to go with it because you're telling me you don't care beyond that.
It's a good way to do it, too. Date nights are essential to keeping romance alive, but planning them shouldn't fall on one person. Guys, it's okay if you're not the romantic planner every single time. A successful date is about the shared experience, not just the orchestrated details. Both partners should feel free to come up with ideas, whether it's a fancy dinner or a simple night in with takeout and movies. You know, I'll tell you an example. Rachel just came to me last week, like on Monday. She was like, I made reservations at a restaurant on Friday that you've never been to. We're going to have a date night. Hmm. I was like, all right. Nice. So we went and did it. And I got to tell you, dude, it was we had such a great time. And it's a restaurant I would have never even known about, let alone thought about.
Let me ask you an honest question, though, because I'm trying to figure out if this is just my hero complex or my martyr complex. If Rachel comes to you and says, hey, I really want to do Mexican tonight, and you're not feeling Mexican, will you speak up or will you just go along? Because as long as she's happy, that's all I care about.
If she said, I really would love to have Mexican tonight, yeah, I'll go, whether I really want it or not. You know, if she came and said, like, yeah, you want Mexican? I'm kind of thinking it. Maybe I would say, I'm not really into it tonight. But if she said, I really would love Mexican tonight, I'll go.
So does that make us good guys or are we pushovers?
I think we just love our partner, want him to make him happy is how I look at it, I guess.
That is how I look at it as well. You and I have a lot of these same traits, though, so I'm wondering if this is a healthy bubble you and I are in or if it's some sort of cycle that should be broken.
We're in an echo chamber of love, and how can that be wrong, Stephen?
Right. I have said that before, too. Like, my default is to do what you want to do. My default is to put you above me. Those are pretty good attributes for you to have out of me, you know, like.
And if she's doing the same, you know, like just taking note, like, hey, I know Steve really likes steak. We haven't done it in a while. I'm going to mention, hey, I really want steak tonight. You know, I think that if we both try and make each other happy, it's a win-win-win.
It would be, yes. So, yeah. I would also encourage everyone to try to figure out your partner. There have been relationships where that old dinner dance will just devolve into a fight or something. So just tell them, we're doing seafood tonight. You know, like, it may feel misogynistic in some ways, but if you know that it's just going to go back and forth and back and forth, just be definitive and pick a place.
Even at home, dude, this happened, I don't know, it started, I feel like, maybe about like 8 months ago, but Rachel and I have a meal kit program. Mm-hmm. So in our refrigerator is different meals we could pick from for dinner. Yeah. Usually the way it would go down is I would say when she got home from work, usually kind of late, 7:30, 8 o'clock, as soon as she gets home, hey, what do you want for dinner? You know, we have this, we have this, we have this. She'd be like, I don't know. I'm like, why are you mad? We got to eat. She came to me. She said, I don't want to be burdened with making another decision tonight. Can you just make it? And I was like, sure. And it felt awkward because I wasn't checking with her. But from there on out, I just told her, like, hey, I'm gonna put fish and chips in now or whatever it is. And then she can say, like, ooh, I don't really want that, you know. But most of the time, I just pick it.
Yeah, it's the wedding ceremony thing. Speak now or forever hold your peace, because here's what we're doing for dinner tonight.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, Kennedy actually brings over those prepared meal things, and we'll do the street game, like the process of elimination. Like, here's four choices. Which one don't you want? Now we're left with these three. Do you want to pick or should I pick? You know.
Right.
But yeah, it does help narrow down to choices, like you were saying, the psychology.
Yeah. Isn't that something that if you just give me two choices, I'll pick one for sure.
Yeah,
you know.
Interesting.
Nice. Food for thought. Hey, we're just going over a list right now of things that men shouldn't feel obligated to do for their partners. All right. Make all the financial decisions. Dude, I'd be in a bad situation if that were true. You know, if I made all the financial decisions.
That used to be true, and I am in a bad situation because of it. You know, with my wife, when we first started dating, my ex-wife, I hated paying the bills. I hated doing our taxes, and she saw it. And I felt like she was doing a noble thing where she stepped up and was like, I'll pay the bills. I'll do the taxes. Like, just you make the money. I'll write the check. And I was like, awesome. Perfect deal. I'll go put the majority of the money in the account. You write the checks and all that. The problem is if they're screwing it up, you know, because then, then problems steamroll and snowball over years and years. So
for sure.
Yeah.
In all honesty, I mean, in my household, we talk about everything. I mean, I know what's happening in our bank account, and so does she. I think that should always be a joint thing. We have a rule in this house that, like, here's the deal. If you're going to spend more than, say, $500 or $400, $300, we should talk about it. Okay. Yeah. But otherwise, do what you're going to do, you know? You should talk about your finances, I feel.
You definitely should, because that's the mistake I made, was just assuming or putting a little faith. And then one year when I started auditing, I was like, we could have a second home for how much you're spending eating out every month. Like, holy crap, I did not realize how out of control this was. So, yeah, you should absolutely have communications about finances. So, who pays the bills in your house? Is it just all bill pay, or do one of you take charge of that?
Most of them are bill pay, and the ones that aren't bill pay, I usually take care of. But like I said, I mean, Rachel definitely knows how much is going out for what, you know?
Yeah.
So you should know, both of you should know your finances. That's stupid otherwise.
I mean, obviously once you're married, there is a gray area in dating, like in the first phase of dating. I don't think it's anyone's business, but
sure,
if you're trying to be serious about things, then that's a serious discussion to have. So, yeah. And if one that evolves, don't jump right to doing each other's taxes.
Yes. If you're living together and share expenses, or, you know, you should know what's going on. I'm not saying you have to tell everything. This is funny looking back. My dad and mom always had the same bank account. They knew what was happening in their bank account. But my dad traveled a lot, so he had his own bank account for his travel. And my mom had nothing to do with it. I don't even know if she ever saw it, dude. He had a secret bank account. I don't know that it's safe.
There's a recipe for shenanigans right there. I would never want to have a secret bank account or a separate one, just as far as like, it's a wide berth for doing something nefarious over there or irresponsible, and you could have used some help. So.
Yeah,
that's tricky. And by the way, if your relationship is disintegrating, be careful about any joint accounts that you may have with each other, because somebody can royally screw you over as they're plotting your demise. Not that I've been through that. But,
you know. Yeah, not that you know anything about it.
Saw a movie once. Yeah.
We're going over all these things that men shouldn't feel obligated to do for their partner. And this one kind of ties in with the last one. And this seems like a no-duh to me, but not to everybody. Make all the financial decisions. What kind of relationship are you in to make all the financial decisions? That doesn't seem like equal partnership to me. And I guess, you know, if you talk about it, like you were mentioning, like, hey, I'm just not good at that. Like, I'll defer to you. That's one thing. But to assume, like, I'll make the financial decisions around here.
Right. Listen, if that's the relationship you have, where early on you establish one of you is dominant, one of you is passive, like maybe, but yeah, that sounds insanely unhealthy. It reminds me of the SNL bit about the Lexus December to Remember, where the husband just goes out and buys a $50,000 car on his own. I would be so pissed. Like,
totally.
Even if someone went and bought me a brand new dirt bike, like on one level, boy, but I appreciate the bike. That's a lot of money you just spend. So, like, are we okay for this? Can we afford this? How much did you pay for it? What are the monthly payments? Like, you know, that's
right.
A lot.
Yeah. Making all the financial decisions, I feel like it was maybe a thing of the past. Hopefully, you know, it seems like the 50s or, you know, 40s. Like, he takes care of that.
Totally. Yes. Very Leave It to Beaver. So.
This one ties in with it as well, as we go over a list. These are things men shouldn't feel obligated to do for their partners. Be the sole breadwinner. This is a new day, a new era. Stephen, I'm definitely not the sole breadwinner in my relationship. And a lot of people see that and like, well, who cares? But there are people, I will tell you, that like, oh, your wife makes more money than you do?
That dynamic is completely antiquated. Like, as far as which one of you should be making more, that's absurd. but should you both be contributing? I mean, if you aren't, you are in a fortunate situation where somehow you're managing to pay all the bills off of one income, because that world does not exist for most of us anymore, where mm-hmm. one income can get by for a household, especially if you have kids. I mean, that's been one of the financial kicks in the nuts that I've had since divorce, of, you know, going from two incomes down to one. I mean, that's devastating. So if you're making six figures plus and the one, your partner doesn't have to work, then, you know, kudos to whichever one of you has cashed in or done well. I mean, it would be healthier in so many situations, especially with kids, if one of the spouses did not have to work. But that's just a reality that doesn't exist for most people nowadays.
It's interesting because when I was young, like maybe up until seventh grade, my mom did stay home. And I loved it, dude. I loved having a parent that was present and able to be present all the time like that. But even, I don't know, since 1990, then my mom started having to work out of the house because things were getting expensive, and things are way more expensive now.
Listen, somewhere around 1980, our average working class wages have pretty much stayed stagnant, you know, compared to inflation and rising cost, whereas the upper tier has just taken off exponentially. And I have said for years on the radio that is my main theory as to why society is crumbling and imploding, because we used to have a world where one parent could stay home full time. Now we have a world where both parents have to work, but one of those parents, half of the money you're earning is going to pay for childcare or after school care so that you can go make the other half of that paycheck, which means you're working full time. If you're making 50 grand a year, you're only making 25 grand. The rest is just going so you can make that 25K. Now you're both out of the house all the time. You're paying for childcare. You're probably not paying them well, so you're probably getting subpar childcare. And that's why kids are just, you know, on the internet, on TV or whatever all the time, because both parents cannot be at home, or one parent can't be at home, and both have to be out of the house. It's caused tons of problems in our society.
Completely it has. And it doesn't seem like it's going to be able to get any better. I mean, sometimes they talk about, you know, during the election cycle, we heard Kamala talking about some of the daycare tax credits and stuff like that. As someone who doesn't have kids but has been around a lot of people that do, daycare is unbelievably expensive.
Yes.
Like, it's not like paying a babysitter, Jenny, down the block, you know, $20 to come over and watch the kids. It's sometimes thousands of dollars a month.
Absolutely. And sometimes you do have to pay Jenny down the block, and then Jenny's not doing a very good job. And like I said, that just ripples. So, yeah, kudos. I would love to be a kept man if somehow, you know, we were in this world where one of us could just, you know, make enough for the whole family. But it's not the world we're living in for most of us.
Dare to dream.
Yeah.
Just going over this list right now. These are things that men shouldn't feel obligated to do for their partners. And this one, I don't know about this, dude. I don't feel like anyone is in charge of all emotional support.
That would be a pretty bad relationship. If one person had that burden. I mean, seriously, what sort of unhealthy dynamic would that be, where one of you has to bear that burden of all of the emotional support? Jeez.
How would that make low numbers on a list?
Right. I don't even think that describes a relationship. That's like a pimp and hoe kind of thing or something, you know?
And this author writes, this is the obvious part. Emotional support is vital in any relationship, but it shouldn't be a one-way street. This is where it gets weird. Men often feel the need to be the constant pillar of strength and emotional support. I don't understand that.
I think they're called alcoholics, you know, because you can't take that on. That's preposterous. That's in the whole, like, you know, men don't cry and we need to suck up all our emotions. And No, that's utter garbage. And I just don't even know how unhealthy of a relationship would have, you know, organically come about that. And if one of you tells the other, like, I'm just going to do all the emotional support, you know, right. Don't worry about me. I'll take care of you.
A relationship is supposed to be a partnership, right? If one person is doing all of anything, it's no longer really a relationship or a partnership.
Yeah. I think this author is projecting heavily with the concerns. Mm-hmm. This one partner shouldn't have to do the laundry all the time. Jenny.
This is another funny one. One person being the husband, we shouldn't have to organize every family gathering. What the hell are you talking about, dude?
I don't know where all this lopsidedness is coming from. Is this a common thing in relationships? Because, yeah, I have no idea what any of this means.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, A, usually whosoever family gathering it is, they plan it or take care of it. But that's just a weird thing to be like, I'll be in charge of getting the extended family together. You know, I've never heard of that. So
I could see how some of this may just over the course of time become the roles you fall into, where you always plan the family vacation or I always pay the bills. But I think this list hopefully is trying to point out to you that if you're realizing that's the dynamic you're in, right, you should do something to course correct it. Because that means this one person has taken on way too much of the burden. Resentment's going to build. So at least communicate about it. It's fine if you have a dynamic where one of you is the decision maker ultimately, but you have to discuss it all. You can't just make unilateral decisions on anything.
Totally. Yeah, like we were saying about finances, the next one here is, it's pretty much what we were talking about, managing all finances. Husband shouldn't have to do that. Women, wives, girlfriends, even boyfriends can do that too.
Yeah, for sure. Or hire an accountant. I'm fine with them doing it all.
How do you feel about this one? As we go over a list of things men shouldn't feel obligated to do for their partner, initiate every intimate moment.
Yeah. Listen, that's a red flag right there, because that is what my marriage was. I mean, seriously, for 10 years, I don't remember my ex-wife ever initiating. And I just sort of assumed that was the dynamic we were in. That if I didn't, I said this to her in more than one argument, like if I didn't ask for sex, we wouldn't have had it for the last 6 months. That was the symptom of an underlying illness. So if one of you is doing it that way, yeah, that's a pretty big red flag. Doesn't mean you can't bring it up or be the person to ask or whatever. But if it's always that way, that's a red flag, guys and girls.
Hey, dude, on a personal level, you talk about asking, like if one person always asks. Yeah. When you initiate sex, is it with an ask or, you know, with just, you know, starting getting busy, you know?
That's a valid question. I feel like early in a relationship, it's always organic. It's always a little touching that leads to a little more, and it always kind of escalates. But the further you get into a relationship, especially if you both have full-time careers, doubly especially if you have kids, there's not only nothing wrong with, / it's probably a good idea to just simply communicate about it. You know, you feel like fooling around tonight? No, busy. Let's pencil it in for tomorrow night. Like, there's nothing wrong with that. Maybe don't do it that way all the time, but does it always have to be organic, a little kissing? Like, I don't know if that's sustainable in a mature relationship that's not brand new.
That's, I understand what you're saying. I've just never talked about it, I suppose. Like, I think there's both in my relationship, but my wife is really funny at asking if I want to fool around, you know, because she's so blunt about it. Like, we'll just be, you know, standing in the kitchen, like, you know, I need to be romanced a little bit. Okay. And she's real blunt about it. Like, you know, are we going to have sex tonight? Like that type of thing. I'm like, oh, okay.
Well, but I think a little balance there is the key. Yes. It's fine to say, hey, you want to fool around tonight? Yeah. That doesn't mean you both just like, okay, strip down. Let's do, you know, bang, 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 and we're done. Like,
right.
You can know that you're going to do that and then set the mood and do a little kissing and escalate. Like, you know, I think balance is the correct answer. But yeah, don't be afraid to ask. Although I will tell you, in my marriage, there was many times where, like, hey, you want to fool around tonight? No.
Oh, like, man.
Oh, wow. That hurts.
Yeah. I mean, hey, look, every time, once in a while, there is a time of, you know, something's going on. Hey, like, I got a sour stomach. I'm not feeling good or whatever.
Yes.
Just to be like, nah, I don't want anything to do with you, really.
Yeah. It was something that happened relatively consistently was the problem. Because,
yeah.
Yes. that's another mature relationship thing of, yeah, I ate too much Mexican food, or I'm just freaking tired. Like, that's fine. That's communication. That's maturity. But yeah, if it's always, you want to fool around tonight? No, maybe next Wednesday. That was the other thing I would get. It would be like a Monday, and I'd be like, you want to fool around tonight? She'd be like, how about a Sunday? I'm like, Sunday? 6 days from now.
That's funny, dude. Yeah. Well, yeah, like you said, don't be afraid to pencil it in either. You know, like I've always heard like, oh, it's so unromantic to schedule sex. Like, hey, that doesn't mean it can't happen organically, but let's put it on the schedule so we don't get so busy, or you don't get so busy that we forget about it, right?
Yes. And there could be something exciting, especially when you're at the office or whatever, just knowing like, all right, tonight's sex night. Like, what should I do? Trick I want to pull out? Like, you know, like if you know you're going on vacation, like, do I want to rent a wave runner? Should we go hiking? Like, you know, if you know what's coming up, you can make some plans, and that can be fun too.
Which Speedo should I put on tonight? You know, these are all things that men shouldn't feel obligated to do for their partners. Be the only tech troubleshooter. Hey, I don't mind being the tech troubleshooter, dude. I'm not saying that she can't figure it out, but I don't mind being the tech troubleshooter.
I don't mind that at all either. I think that comes down to certain strengths and weaknesses. Like, if you're with someone who's not very tech savvy, then that's fine if you are. Or yeah. I like fixing stuff. You know, like, I don't think it's wrong to be like, you know, I'm the fixer. Now, if she stands up and is like, I want to fix the door jam, then okay, you know, go ahead. But yeah. I don't know if there's anything wrong with having some roles like that.
Yeah, I agree. The next one kind of melds into that. It talks about handling all the DIY home projects. And again, I mean, if one person doesn't want to do it, I don't have any problem. In my house, there's certain DIY projects I tackle on my own, and there's certain Rachel does, and there's certain we do together, you know?
That's not that big of a deal. It's a love language thing. I mean, that's literally one of the love languages, to say, like, I like to do, you know, I forget what the word is, but do tasks or chores or whatever for you. Like, that's how some people show love.
Yeah, service.
Yeah, acts of service, exactly. And, you know, I do like fixing stuff, so... You know, it's not like I'm doing it begrudgingly, but I don't know. Between tech and fixing stuff, I don't know if that's bad to have roles.
Yeah. This one, you'll have to give me the opinion, because it's about kids and I don't have them. These are things men shouldn't feel obligated to do for their partners. Be the point person for kids' activities.
Like, you're the one that plans all of the kids' activities? Is that what they're saying?
Kids' activities can be a whirlwind of schedules and commitments, but managing them shouldn't rest solely on one parent. So, yeah, getting them to soccer, he's got a party at Joey's, you know.
Right. Listen, I mean, that comes down to the dynamic of the relationship yet again. If one of you is more the designated carpool person, if you've discussed that, then I think that's probably fine. It comes down to, like, you know, your wife works long hours and has some weird shifts, and if she's in trial, she's going to be working more. Like, if you have that sort of dynamic, I think it's perfectly fine. You know, I used to do drop-offs all the time and pick up usually, because I had a job for years where I had some flexibility built in, and, you know, she didn't. So, right. You know, she was in a retail environment, open 7:30 to 4. Like, you know, she couldn't leave during those times, so... But if one of you just assumes that you have to do all that stuff, or if you unorganically just take it over, then again, this is out of balance. You're not communicating. Resentment's going to build, et cetera, et cetera.
Just communicate about it. Some of these, I think, yeah, these are things that we do in our marriage, and we talk about them, and they're fine.
Yeah.
Men shouldn't feel obligated to do these things for their partner. Make all travel plans. I never have made all the travel plans. In fact, Rachel makes most of the travel plans.
So. Have you made any of the travel plans?
Maybe to a concert or, you know, but nothing major. She always makes them, and she's good at it.
Right. It's an interesting point. So Kennedy and I have been together for just shy of a year right now. And the trips we have taken, she's done it. she'll bring up the idea, like, do you want to go to Chicago to see your kid? And then I'm like, yes, but I got to look at my schedule. I got to look at every fair there is on planet Earth to know if we're getting the best deal. I got to look at the... And then she'll just call me the next day, like, here's an option. Do we want to do it or not? Should I book it right now?
Yeah.
And on one level, I very much appreciate that she's taken the, you know, the initiative to do that. I don't want it to get into a dynamic, though, where she thinks she always has to do that or we're never going to take a trip. But if one of you wants to take a little more initiative than the other, I don't know. Seems helpful to me.
Yeah, and she may like to be in charge of that. You know, like as far as Rachel, like I said, she's really good at it. But she's good at it because she also really enjoys putting it together. You know,
right.
If she needs my help, I'll help her. And I'm not never going to plan a getaway for us. But when we travel internationally, I sometimes have to ask her where I am. Like, where are we right now?
There's some self-awareness in that too. I have buddies up here, Brian and Jen, that Jen has booked a few trips for them before, and she is comically bad at it. Like, she books trips to the wrong airport, or the rental car is on a different week than the hotel. It's so Brian has had to step in and be like, this is a shortcoming of yours. So I'm going to book these trips so that we're at the right airport and the right date. And
right.
All so it's not a machismo. I'm going to do this for my little lady. It's the little lady acknowledging I'm not very good at booking travel. So why don't you do it?
Some of these things on this list are funny because I've thought, oh, if we roll back to the, I don't know, 70s, 60s, most of the time I thought women did that as the majority. The next one on our list of things men shouldn't feel obligated to do for their partners is be the only cook.
Oh, okay. Here's another trouble spot for me.
Okay.
So men shouldn't feel the need to be the only cook. That is a reverse stereotype, isn't it?
Yeah. Are we just, this guy's just trying to give us, men have to do everything, right. You know?
Yeah, so a couple of things there. One, yes, it is, of course, stereotypical that the woman is in the kitchen doing all the cooking. Yet when you look at celebrity chefs, almost all of them are men. So I've never totally understood where that disconnect came from. But, yeah, so in my marriage, you know, Jamie always wanted to be the cook. She had this thing. It's a one-butt kitchen. This is my domain. Don't even come in here. And I fell into that role a long time ago. Didn't even know how to cook, really. And then I got divorced and I had to learn how to cook and all that stuff. But I will say now with Kennedy, she's a very good cook. She used to work in a restaurant back in college. She was like a sous chef and stuff at a real restaurant. I mean, she's really good at it. And 9 times out of 10, she's the one that does the cooking. And sometimes I feel guilty because I don't want to fall into that role again. But you're also good at it. You seem to enjoy it. Like, I think we need to have a little more communication on that topic. Because I don't want to make her feel like she has to be the cook.
Look, some people are terrible cooks. If you got a good one in the family, I can see them doing most of it or whatever. For Rachel and I, again, she works long hours, so I do most of the cooking. But then there's times on the weekend where she'll want to make a great meal for Saturday or Sunday or whatever, and because she likes to cook. One thing I will say with you and Kennedy, and I don't know if you do this or not, but a great quality time and kind of romantic to cook together and, you know, both be in the kitchen doing things together for one meal.
Yeah.
You ever that's do fair. It?
I don't know that we 50-50 have done any of that, but usually whichever one of us is doing the cooking, you know, I'm grilling the burgers. Can you make the salad? Or she'll ask me, can you chop these things up while I'm doing this?
Yeah.
And I'm always sitting there with her. Even if I do sit there at the counter the entire time, we're sitting there, we're chatting about our day. She's cooking, sipping wine or whatever. Like, I don't know that I've just been like, I'm going to go watch SportsCenter. You know, go in the kitchen and let me know when the meal's ready.
Yeah, I think that's perfect time for quality time. Is like you said, even if you're not chopping something up, to sit there and have the conversation, it's just a good time to talk. So.
Yeah, I do need to clarify some of these things. I'm trying to avoid past mistakes in new relationships. So,
yeah,
it's like you were saying with the handyman stuff. Like I like doing that stuff. I feel satisfaction out of fixing stuff with my hands. So I don't mind being the fixer. If you love cooking, if that's a relaxation or you enjoy that art, like, bad. But yeah, talk about it. Don't put the burden on one person. And by the way, if you are that one person, ask for help. If I need help fixing something, like, I shouldn't be afraid to ask. Can you help me hold this? Can you give me my tools when I need it? Like,
sure. These are all things that men shouldn't feel obligated to do for their partners. This is another one, dude, that I feel like it's weird for a man to say this if we go back to, like, the, you know, 70s, 80s, 90s. This is called decorate the entire house. Why would a man first of all, why would a man decorate the entire house? Not like you can't have a say, but I've never heard of a man in a partnership decorating the entire house.
I literally have never heard of that. And even going to what I was saying about the stereotypes with female chefs, that more male chefs are... I mean, I guess when I watch some of the HGTV shows, there's some male interior decorators that are usually very gay. But I don't know where that stereotype or to make it into the article that a man should not decorate the majority of the house. I'm insulted over the idea of a man cave.
I can agree with you on part of that. I understand having a room that you enjoy doing things in, calling it the man cave, putting, you know, I don't know, porno posters up or something in the house and having a man cave is weird to me.
Yes. It just seems belittling. Like, the house is mine, sweetie. I'll give you the basement, and you can make a little cave down there. You and your dumb friends can hang out in. But God forbid you either spread elsewhere in the house, or we talk about the colors for our bedroom or something. Like,
so funny. My brother has a man cave, and he calls it the man cave. But everyone hangs out down there. You might as well just call it a multi-purpose room that I decorated, you know, with all my shit.
Exactly. Why can't it just be the rec room, the basement, or something that's themed one way or the other? Like, designating as a man cave is just very belittling. So,
yeah. What about a she shed? You feel the same way? Like, you can have a she shed if you want.
Yeah, that's even funnier. I'm going to put you in the backyard. Like,
you're not even in the house, dude.
No. But listen, unless you're the kind of guy that is just phobic of decorating, that, of course, is something you should do. Even if you're going to default it, to the most part, to her vision, to be able to pick some color scheme and whatnot. Yeah. And then if she abuses that, that's a red flag. Like, if now your bedroom is all pink and flowery because that's what she wants, she has no consideration for what you may want. Like, yeah, these are big red flags.
Hey, in your relationships, I feel like you always jointly decorated, right?
Yeah, for the most part. And part of that is I have a lot of things that, you know, kind of naturally work on display, but there's also, like, you know, when I was single before I got married, I had Spider-Man stuff everywhere. And then, the woman moves in and all of a sudden, well, it goes from a Spider-Man room to a Spider-Man shelf to a Spider-Man single display to a to everything's in the garage now.
Yeah, to a Spider-Man closet. I think that's another fun thing to do together. Like, both of you should love the way you feel in your house.
Of course.
So, yeah, like, do it together. That's fun.
And I think I have a pretty good aesthetic. I have had women in my dating life here in these last 5 years show up and be like, did you decorate this place yourself? Like, that matches that, and this goes with that. Like,
right.
Yeah, okay. You know, I have some skill.
Yeah. This is a list of things that men shouldn't feel obligated to do for their wives.
Oral.
No, you should feel obligated to do that.
It should be like Christmas, though. The giving and receiving is the proper way to do that.
So. That's right. Handle all medical appointments. This is a really weird relationship to me.
I don't know what that means. So she's scheduling my appointments, my colonoscopy, or my annual checkups? Like, in some parent dynamics, one is always scheduling for the kids or something, but...
Medical appointments are a vital aspect of self-care, but managing them shouldn't fall solely on one partner. Men often find themselves responsible for scheduling and coordinating, but it's perfectly okay to share this responsibility. Both partners should feel equally involved in maintaining their health. So, yeah, I don't know that Rachel's ever made a medical appointment for me or vice versa, you know?
Again, I don't know where that stereotype is coming from, because the stereotype would be that the wife is making the appointments for the whole house. I don't know any house where the husband is making the appointments for everyone, including the wife.
Yeah. We just make our own appointments. I mean, there's times we'll talk like, oh, you should go to the doctor and ask him about that, you know, but I would never call her doctor and be like, can I make an appointment for my wife?
That's insane to think about calling her OBGYN or something.
Right.
And say she needs to come in. If anything, the stereotype is that men never want to go to the doctors, and that's why we die young, because we ignore issues all the time. So I don't know where the stereotype comes from, but no, for the most part, you should probably have some level of accountability for each other. You know, have you done that? Have you called your doctor yet? But
yes.
Or them? That's weird.
A man wrote this article, Owen Scott. I'll give him credit for writing the article, but it's very odd to me. This is called Men Shouldn't Feel Obligated to Do This for Their Partner. Take the Lead in Conflict Resolution.
I don't know about that one. That's a hard one. I mean, in some relationships, because I've been in them, if I don't take the lead to like, time out, let's take a breath, let's de-escalate, then certainly no one is. That's, again, a symptom of a bigger illness, that you're with some bulldog alpha woman who doesn't want to hear anything and doesn't ever want to be wrong, doesn't ever want to de-escalate. So, but I mean, in some relationships, one person may need to be better about that. However, the other person has to be able to reciprocate. Because that, again, was the other problem I had. Like, let's take 20 minutes and de-escalate. And I'd go and sit and think happy thoughts and de-escalate while the woman's down the hall thinking how she's going to punch me in the face when I come back out, or how she's going to eviscerate me. Yeah, she's got a list of counterpoints going. Like, that's not healthy by any means. And you can't force it on someone. So I don't know how one person could only be that.
Yeah. Yeah. You got to be on the same page, you know. And I think it's okay for one person to say, hey, like, remember, we should take a little breather right now. This is how it works best for us. So, like, let's just break and we'll come back, you know. You should be on the same page, though.
Yeah, I have had that relationship where neither of you can really see the forest through the trees. So if one of you can develop that skill, that's okay. But, again, it can't be one side. Like, literally, it cannot be one side. You're not resolving or de-escalating anything. So.
Yeah, you're prolonging the pain, the misery of this relationship.
And like I said earlier in this chat, like de-escalating, resolving conflict, I don't know how any relationship, romantic, work, or whatever, could possibly exist if you don't have some level of skill of de-escalating or resolving conflict.
It's funny, dude, because, you know, Rachel and I have been married for 16 years now, which just blows my mind. Doesn't feel like it's been that long, but if I think back to the beginning of our relationship, I always feel like we had some process and idea about conflict resolution. But that said, I see the evolution over the 16-year period. We're much better at conflict resolution now than we were when we were married for 5 years, you know.
And listen, some couples naturally find a symbiotic balance there of who's going to take the lead to resolve this or take the, like, some people fall into that on their own, and that's great if you do, but a lot don't.
Yeah.
And, you know, at one point I was going to write a book called The Alpha Beta Protocols. Like, if you have two alphas in a relationship, one of you has got to decide to be the beta in certain situations. You can't have two alphas. You won't resolve anything. So one of you has got to be smart enough to go, okay, we're both bullheaded here. We're both trying to be right. Like, it won't work. So one of you has got to agree to be the beta.
Isn't that funny? Even situationally, not like you're the beta, I'm the alpha all the time, but just in certain situations. I think it was from Dr. Gottman, the Gottman theory that you always talk about, was said that when you go into an argument, it's not to find a winner. It's to find a common ground, an agreement, right? So going into any conflict like that is supposed to be better if I'm not trying to be the winner and you're not trying to be the winner.
Yeah. It's our modern day politics. There's no compromising. It's just, I'm right, you're wrong. How does that work out?
Yeah. As we go over this list of things men shouldn't feel obligated to do for their partners, another weird one. Be the only one to apologize? This sounds like first of all, it sounds like a terrible relationship, right?
This guy has had a terrible marriage, which is what I'm picking up on. So,
right.
How can you only be the one to apologize? So you're always wrong? Well, that sounds fun.
Do you like the whole happy wife, happy life thing?
No. This is a big struggle, again, I've had that my high school commencement speech, you know, this was a fellow classmate, but he gave this little line about, you know, my dad taught me that, you know, yes, dear, can be the key to a happy marriage. And the principle there has always driven me nuts, that I would have to concede that it's happy wife, happy life, not happy couple, happy life, or I can't, my happiness will never be as important as yours. Like, that principle drives me nuts. But it does sort of relate to what I was just saying. There are certain fights where one of you should just be smart enough to take it back a notch. Like, I don't need this win. This is not my hill to die on. You got what you need. You're happy. Perfect. Now we can all be happy. So there's a little logic to that, but you cannot ever let the woman know that that's what you're doing, or the whole thing will blow up in your face. Yes, dear. Okay.
Right. Yeah, yeah. It's like saying, calm down. Calm down.
Right. So there's some wisdom there, but don't be so stark about it, because that will self-defeat.
This is a list of things that men shouldn't feel obligated to do for their partners. Initiate all social plans. I feel like we already talked about that, making dates, right?
Yeah, yeah. It should be mutual, for sure.
This is a good one. I want to know where you stand on it. Man, you shouldn't always feel like you have to be the driver. You shouldn't always have to drive.
Yeah, that's a debatable point. So, again, my alpha-beta protocols in my marriage, Jamie always wanted to drive. I fell into a role years and years ago that I don't care. Like, I really don't care which one of us is driving. So if you really want to drive, that's fine. That way I can have an extra drink at dinner, or smoke an extra bowl, or play on my phone more. Like, it didn't bother me at all. But I will never forget, Tony, you know, came to me one day and was like, how come she always drives? Isn't that, like, really belittling to you? And I was like, my masculinity is not that fragile. I don't care who drives.
Okay.
But in my modern, you know, relationship with Kennedy, I think I'm driving 70% of the time. And that's, I don't know. That tends to be how things work out. But there's times she was like, you want me to drive? You know, I can drive. I'm like, okay, go ahead. Not a big deal to me.
It's funny. My brother, his wife drives when they go together somewhere. He never drives. She wants to drive. And he has the same philosophy that you have. I got to tell you, dude, not that I don't want Rachel to drive. I'd prefer to drive. And I do about 95% of the time. Sometimes she'll say, like, I'm going to drive, you know, because she wants to take a special way, or she just feels like driving, you know. Yeah. And that's fine. But, yeah, we never really discuss it. And most of the time it's me getting into the driver's seat.
So it happened organically? You guys never early on talked about that?
No. I maybe she feels that I want to drive. I'd rather drive. I just like to drive.
Interesting.
All right. This is my final one. As we go over this list of things men shouldn't feel obligated to do for their partners, manage all household chores. Owen, whoever wrote this article, Owen Scott, what is wrong with you? Like, what are you talking about, manage all household chores? You think a husband, he's really building men up. We go to work, we pay the bills, we plan all the activities, we make medical appointments, and we do all the household chores.
I'm starting to wonder if he's gay. Are there two men in this relationship? Is that where he's basing these stereotypes on? Because, again, yes, the stereotype would not be that the men do all the chores. It would be that the men don't do any chores, and that becomes a source of contention in the relationship.
I don't think so, dude, because I changed this title to partner. It's originally titled Things Men Shouldn't Feel Obligated to Do for Their Wives. Mm-hmm. So I don't think he's gay. I think he's just a chauvinist piece of crap.
Apparently. I don't know. I mean, again, dynamics, balance. If one of you is the breadwinner and working all the time and one's more at home time, or there are certain chores I don't mind doing. Yeah. Or there are certain chores like you don't want to wash the dishes first before you put them in the dishwasher. Like, I'll go ahead and do
that. I can take care of that. Yeah. I
feel that's how it's supposed to do. But no, you don't ever want things all out of balance. You're just the chore person. You're just the maid around the house. Like, No, that's going to build resentment, obviously, unless you balance things out. You do the cooking and I'll do the cleaning. Deal? Is everyone happy with that? Then fine. You communicate it.
Like in my life, I mean, I do 90% of the cleaning, but Rachel does 92% of the work.
Right.
Working. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And did you guys ever discuss that, or did it come about organically?
Organically. I mean, it's just, hey, we want to take care of each other, and this is how I can take care of you, and vice versa, you know?
And does she express appreciation? Hey, I appreciate you doing the dishes all the time.
For sure. Yeah. And just as I do. Hey, thanks for, well, you put in a long day. You know, thanks for, you take care of this family so well. You know, it's, yeah, you got to be thankful for both situations.
Yeah, I think that's another thing that can really blow up in your face. Even if one person does always want to do the DIY stuff or always want to do the cooking, it's fine, but show them some appreciation. That will go a long ways.
Yeah, even a quick mention, thank you, or just noticing it. Hey, the house looks great, you know, means a million bucks.
Yep, I completely agree. I know we're just about out of time here, but just a quick clarification, a quick debate that came up in my relationship recently.
Please.
Kennedy was listening to some show. I mean, this has come up a million times, I'm sure. I think we were talking about Nancy Mace, and I called her a MILF.
Yes, you did.
When you designate someone a MILF, is that a literal designation? It's a mom I'd like to go fuck? Or is it just, she's a hot older woman, she's a hot mom? Is it a status, or is it a declaration of intention?
Depends. If you're in a loving relationship, it's a status. If you're single, it's probably, I would like to fuck her.
Right.
You know?
Does anyone think I want to track down Nancy Mace and make sweet love to her? I mean, call her a MILF. I'm not declaring my intentions that I want to go bang her. I'm just saying she's a hot mom.
I completely, completely agree with you that, like, anytime I say someone's a MILF, like, I'm not thinking like, yeah, I'd really like to do that. I'm just saying she's hot.
Right. You know? Okay. Thank you. Yeah. This came up recently where Kennedy was like, well, you did say you wanted to go bang her. I was like, wait, what? I've never said I want to bang Nancy Mace. He was like, you called her a MILF. That's literally what it means. I was like, I got thrown off because I was just like, what did I say? What was the context? But then I'm thinking like, no, I'm just designating someone as a hot older woman. She may not even be a mom. She's just hot over the age of 40. I'm not saying I'm going to go track her down. She's my, or even she's my, you know, on my list of celebrity exceptions or whatever.
Yeah, I completely agree, dude. That's a 100% agree with you. Somebody said a couple of weeks ago, I heard something about like that she is a MILHV, like a mom I'd like to have fun with, you know. We need to start taming it down. We don't always want to F them. We're just saying they're cute. You know, she's a mom. It's cute.
Right. And shouldn't you be happy that I'm noticing hot older women as opposed to constantly commenting on a 21-year-old or something?
Yeah, like Jenna Ortega. We're not talking about Jenna Ortega here.
Well, that's the same thing. I never said I wanted to bang her either, but somehow that became the assertion. I didn't even say she was sexy. I said the dance was sexy. God, I get misunderstood a lot.
Yeah, you do. You got to be careful of language, dude. It's very important.
I don't know. I think everyone should just be happy that I have this sort of fire passion burning inside of me. There's only one person that benefits from it, so, you know.
You benefit from it? What are you talking about, dude?
That is such a therapeutic thing you said right there. Nice job. Yeah. You're right. I hear Misty applauding you right now, my therapist.
Good. So good. Welcome to The Vocal Minority with Nick and Steve. We give you a couple of shows each and every week, and we're glad you're here for it.
Indeed. Find our social medias, be it political, be it pop culture. We try to get to it all. So find us on Reddit, find us on TikTok and YouTube, and then the other ones as well. Most notably Blue Sky for the other category.
Call our comment line 844-48-VOCAL. And thanks for listening to the program.
What up, players? It's your boy, M. You're listening to two of the dopest guys in the game, Nick and Steve, and The Vocal Minority. Stop worrying about mom's spaghetti and just make sure you're locked in every week. Peace, y'all.
I'm circumcised. I got my son circumcised. I'm not religious.